Tomorrow, September 11th, 2017, marks the 16th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th. Many of us in the New York metropolitan area and in our nation's capital and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, witnessed these attacks firsthand. Many of us lost friends, colleagues, and loved ones that day. Still others suffer enduring scars, both physical and mental, which are constant reminders of the act of cowardice that altered our nation's fiber, stripped us of so many of our freedoms, and forever changed our American way of life. Yet, many of you who listened to this show were too young to remember, and far too many who vowed they would never forget have done just that. My production team and I have been digging through the audio archives and personal accounts of that day to bring you a, well, let's just say a not-so-subtle reminder. We've produced a mini audio documentary that we're calling Innocence Lost. We encourage you to share it with your children and grandchildren in years to come. Let it serve as a record of truth, which has been all but eroded in an era of political correctness. But I warn you, this piece is raw, real, filled with emotion, and completely uncensored. Like much of life, it's not for the faint of heart. So, listener discretion is advised. And now, Gun for Hire Radio presents Innocence Lost.
Miles and miles of sunshine today, nice as it could be across the Northeast. Rough seas still from the chop from that hurricane, but other than that, it's kind of quiet around the country. We like quiet. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
Around 8:45 a.m., the people along the west side of Manhattan heard a piercing whine of a jumbo jet making its way down the Hudson River. Those who witnessed the scene instinctively realized everything about it was wrong. Heading down an airway normally reserved for northbound VFR traffic, it was much too big, traveling much too fast, and much too low. Nearly 500 miles per hour, at an altitude of just 900 feet, more than twice the speed permitted for an aircraft flying that low. It took less than 90 seconds for American Flight 11 to travel the entire length of the island of Manhattan. A little after 8:46 a.m., the huge aircraft, weighing 283,600 pounds, traveling at 465 miles per hour, carrying approximately 10,000 gallons of fuel, flashed across the remaining 20 blocks from Canal Street to the World Trade Center. And tore through the massive North Tower between the 93rd and 99th floors, killing all on board and wreaking incomprehensible carnage across the six full floors of the building.
I heard the bang. I thought it was thunder or something. He goes, look outside. I looked outside. I said, holy, it looks like a plane hit it or something.
Battalion Chief Pfeiffer made the first official report.
We have a number of floors on fire. It looked like the plane was aiming towards the building. Transmit a third alarm. We'll have the staging area at Vesey and West Street.
As we swung around in front of World Trade, my mind tells me, wow, this is bad.
The impact severs 47 of the building's critical perimeter support columns and damages another two. Rivers of burning jet fuel pour out of the severed wings down the elevator shafts to the floor below, incinerating anything and anyone caught in its path. Smoke, fire, and wreckage cutting off all escape routes for those in or above the impact zone. Although all the levels were designed to be smoke and fire resistant, blindingly thick plumes of acrid smoke ripped their way through the remaining upper floors in minutes, making it almost impossible for those trapped inside to see or breathe. Witnesses on the upper floor of the South Tower were stunned to see a wall of flames burst through the windows of the North Tower, less than 130 feet away, followed by a shower of disintegrating desks, files, computers, airplane parts, and burning bodies. If you were in the floors below, you saw the ceilings cave in. You saw the glint of the airplane as it impacted the building, and you felt the shockwaves ripple through the building as it physically moved off axis, swaying over 20 feet in each direction. Close to the impact zone, there were people who lived for long, horrific minutes as they sought refuge from the smoke and flames and scorching heat. Many, in the last few moments of their lives, had the presence of mind to phone their loved ones or made desperate calls for help that would never come.
Good morning, have a good day.
Hi, what's your name again, please?
Everybody's having trouble breathing. Some people are worse.
Some people are unconscious. Everybody's awake. No fire for now, and no smoke, right?
Of course there's smoke.
Ma'am, you have to stay calm.
There is smoke. I can't breathe.
Okay, you stay calm with me, okay? I understand.
I think there is fire because it's very hot.
Okay.
It's very hot everywhere on the floor.
Okay. I know you don't see it, and I know, but I'm documenting what you say, okay? And it's very hot. We see no fire, but you see smoke, right?
It's very hot. I see any air anymore.
Okay.
All I see is smoke.
Okay, dear. I'm so sorry. Hold on one. Stay calm with me. Stay calm.
Please. Listen.
The call is in. I'm documenting. I'm going to let those... Hold on one second, please.
I'm going to die, aren't I?
No.
I'm going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers. And we're not going to
die.
We're going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
Stay calm.
You're doing a good job, ma'am.
It's so hot. I'm burning up. Oh, my God.
I just wanted to let you know I love you and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke and we just wanted you to know that I love you always.
You know, there's a fire. I love you, girl. I love you. I don't know if I'm going to be okay. I love you so much.
By 8:55, an army of firemen, police, emergency service personnel, and government officials, including the mayor himself, were rushing to the scene in Lower Manhattan. They were followed by another army, of almost equal size, of television news crews, cameramen, photographers, and reporters, as the apparatus of the largest media operation in the world focused their attention on the events unfolding in a small, 16-acre plot of ground in the largest city in America. At 9:02 a.m., little more than 15 minutes after the initial attack, while millions of people in the New York metropolitan region and tens of millions of television viewers across the world were staring intently at the smoldering icon of the New York skyline, a dark shape appeared over the skyline of New Jersey and came hurtling across the Statue of Liberty and the Upper Bay. Freelance cameraman Steve Vigilante captured those astounding next few moments on tape.
Holy shit, Martin.
No!
That's the other building! That's terrible! terrorist. That's terrorist, bro. That's fucking terrorist.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
That's terrorist, bro.
According to seismic records, at precisely 9:02:54, as millions watched, United 175 slammed into the South Tower, cutting a swath through floors 77 to 85 of the 110-story building, instantly killing all on board, and over 100 more inside as it tore its way through. By then, the first teams of firefighters and emergency workers had already arrived at the base of the North Tower, where they were greeted by a scene of horror and devastation that defied the imagination. On the Austin Tobin Plaza, there were burning corpses everywhere, the mangled bodies of men and women that had already fallen or jumped from the upper floors of the building, and the charred remains of the passengers of Flight 11, some still belted in their seats. 1,000 feet above, in the upper reaches of the towers themselves, there was a clearly marked delineation between life and death. In the North Tower, the plane struck in the center, and because the burning jet fuel went immediately down the shafts, it created a more intense and fiercely smoky fire. Those trapped on the floors above were cut off from any hope of escape. And because they had nowhere to go, people broke out windows, desperate to get air. People were stacked 4 and 5 high, hanging out of the windows, just trying to breathe. Others, having already climbed out of the windows, clung to each other and to the metal on the outside of the building. And then, one by one, to the absolute horror of those looking on, they began to fall and jump to their deaths.
About 15 minutes ago, bodies started dropping from the top floors of the tower closest to the highway, and it was absolutely terrible. Obviously, they had two choices, to be burned in flames or to leap and end it all.
By 9:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, ordinary life in New York City had all but ceased, as millions of New Yorkers and millions more around the world looked on in shock and disbelief. But the horrors of that day were nowhere close to being over.
The World Trade said that Tower Number 1 is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just saying every available ambulance to World Trade Center now.
And a person comes running into the office saying, explosion, explosion, explosion. His skin was pulled all from his armpits all the way to the top of the fingertips, and pieces missing off his face.
He says he's at the 105th floor at One World Trade Center.
I am on the 100th floor of the World Trade Center with 30 people, northeast corner.
Okay, let me get to you at 100th floor?
100th floor, northeast, 30 people in the corner. The smoke is very bad.
Message number 51 concludes 0800 hours, 56 minutes and 12 seconds.
American 11, climb, maintain level 350.
American 11, Boston.
Earth 7, Mike Lima, how do you hear?
Mike Lima, has you loud and clear?
American 11, Boston.
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11.
Okay.
The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
American 11, if you hear Boston Center, ident, please, or acknowledge. American 11, Boston. American 11, if you hear Boston Center, ident.
Roger's weapon, Sergeant Powell.
Hi, Boston Center TMU. We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
Okay, I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him. Foxy, scramble Langley. Head them towards the Washington area.
Hey, this is Dulles Approach Control. We're tracking a fast-moving primary heading towards the White House. The White House has been advised.
All right, I'll tell them. Change. Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep you advised.
Thank you very much. 3134020 ground. Hey, tower. Did you see that?
Hello?
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your tower.
Just please.
Do you hear me?
Do that.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, stop all departures.
Stop all.
Yeah, went in the Pentagon. When it got, looks like it went in the Pentagon.
The report we have is of a fire and smoke at the Pentagon.
United 93, wind 3307, runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 4 left, United 93.
United 93 checking in 350. United 93, 350,
roger. United 93, that traffic to you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
Somebody call Cleveland.
Okay. United 93, verify 350. United 93, verify your deployable 350. United 93, Cleveland. United 93, Cleveland. United 93, here at Cleveland Center, our deck, please.
Elsa, it's Lynn. I only have a minute. I'm on United 93, and it's been hijacked by terrorists who say they have a bomb. Apparently, they have flown a couple of planes into the World Trade Center already, and it looks like they're going to take this one down as well. Mostly, I just wanted to say I love you, and I'm going to miss you.
United 1523, did you hear your company, did you hear some interference on the frequency here a couple of minutes ago, screaming?
Yes, I did, 797, and we couldn't tell what it was either.
Okay. United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the sound of that, then. American 1060, you heard that also?
Yes, sir, twice.
Roger, we heard that also, thanks. I just wanted to confirm it wasn't some interference. Yeah, we're just trying to figure out what's going on.
We have a ball aboard. So, it's
Was that United 93?
Yeah, that transmission you said was unreasonable. It sounded like someone said they have a bomb on board.
That's what we thought. We just we didn't get it clear.
Do you see any activity on your right side, smoke or anything like that?
Yeah, we do have a smoke puff now at about, probably 2 o'clock. It appears to be just a dark cloud, like a puff of black smoke.
Receiving report of a 757, 15 miles southwest of the airport with a terroristic device on board. Chief, they're advising the plane went down in the Shanksville area.
Somerset, Pennsylvania. We don't know if it's a big plane, a small plane, any relation to this.
Plane down in Pennsylvania.
Somerset County?
Right, Somerset County, right.
Yeah, get that map man.
Another plane has crashed, this one about 80 miles south of Pittsburgh.
These are the first pictures we have in. This is from Somerset County, Pennsylvania. This is where the United Airlines Flight 93, this was a Boeing 757 bound from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco. It crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, near the town of Shanksville, south of Pittsburgh. We're told about 80 miles outside of Pittsburgh.
Noise coming from it, but the engines were running. I then saw the plane coming down at almost a 90-degree angle, maybe an 80-degree angle, and the next thing I saw was a big fireball and smoke
When it come down over top of me, I seen it go ahead, nosedive straight into the ground down here.
We heard this noise in the sky. My friend and I looked up and said, "What's that?" And just going over, basically over our horizon of the hill, was this plane. It was completely upside down, is what it was. The tail fin was down, and it was going in at a sharp ascent, probably more than a 45-degree angle, closer to a 90-degree angle. Next thing was over the horizon, there was a big, huge fireball. But what I'd say at least 400 or 500 feet in the air, fireball.
The debris here is spread over a 3 to 4 mile radius, which has now been completely sealed off and is being treated, according to the FBI, as a crime scene. This is one of those cases where the pictures really do tell the story, that sort of the most horrifying aspect of this particular crash scene is how little debris is visible. There is a large crater in the ground. That's really all you see, is a large crater in the ground and just tiny, tiny bits of debris. There has been at least one report that the investigators out there, and there are hundreds of them, as I said tonight, have found nothing larger than a phone book.
When I took the call over, there was a soft-spoken, calm gentleman on the other end. He told me that there's three people that have taken over the flight. At that point, I asked him his name. He told me Todd Beamer. He was from Cranberry, New Jersey. I wanted him to think that he still had a chance. I didn't want him to feel like it was just totally hopeless and he definitely didn't have a choice and he knew he was going to die. I didn't want him to have that feeling. I felt that he knew at that time because he had said, "Oh, Jesus, help us." And then he said, "Lisa, would you recite the Lord's Prayer with me?" And I knew that he knew at that time that it wasn't much left for him to do. They're all heroes in my eyes. They really are. They all pitched together, and they did what they thought was the best thing to do at that time. And I feel that Todd played a great role in that, because when he told the guys, "Are you ready?" I assumed that they were waiting on his cue. Then they responded to him, and he said, "Okay, let's roll."
Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
We have a guest in the studio today.
We do, and it's a politician.
And it's
leave
apropos.
The door open. And never
surprised you let me in.
See, it's apropos because this is the September 11th tribute. God bless all of their souls that perished in that horrible day. But we have Mayor Keith Kazmark from the town of Woodland Park. Mayor, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. The mayor of Woodland Park is a friend of mine and someone I trust very well. I have a good relationship with. I was so impressed with Woodland Park when we opened the range 4.5 years ago that I bought a house and moved into the town because, and I'm not blowing proverbial smoke there, but you and the council are the most active I have ever seen in any town I've ever lived in.
Well, I appreciate that, and we pride ourselves on being accessible and being visible in the community. It's very important.
I can text the mayor 10 o'clock at night with something, and he'll get back to me at 10:01. And then the next day, we'll get it put out there and taken care of, whatever the problem or issue may be. It's phenomenal. So I commend you for that. I wanted the mayor on today for a couple of reasons. Number one is, a few months ago, the mayor spearheaded this what would we call stigma free? It's a learning and awareness program called Stigma Free that's been spreading nationwide, started in New Jersey. And I got behind it with all of my employees, and I'm on the Stigma Free committee in town with a bunch of other great people, educators, nurses, doctors, politicians, council persons. And we all attended stigma-free training, which can help you diagnose mental health issues with people. And the reason I did was because a lot of you know that the mental health issue runs hand-in-hand with gun owners in New Jersey, where it's hard to get help if you own guns because you're afraid you're going to lose your guns because you have to admit on the forms that you've sought mental health treatment, which is a vicious circle. And so the mayor stepped forward with the stigma free, and we all took the ball and ran with it. And it's been, would you say it's been quite successful, Mayor?
I think it's been tremendously successful. Tomorrow night, Friday night, we'll have our first coming out party, so to speak, for our stigma free committee. It was originally scheduled back in June, but due to inclement weather, we had to move it to tomorrow night. Looking forward to celebrating with the community this new initiative here in town.
So, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. We've used it in our training here to help diagnose people, you know, and help to direct people into getting help, you know, because people come up to me all the time and they're like, you know, I've had guns for 25 years and I'm going through a divorce and I feel like I need help. And my first advice to everybody is that the gun ownership has to come secondary. Your health has to come primarily.
Absolutely.
And fighting it or skirting the issue is not going to help yourself, your family, or anyone else. So something to pass on. And we're going to talk in the next segment about how maybe you might be able to help that nationally and in New Jersey should that come. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Mayor, and your background, please.
So I actually grew up here in town, been here since I was 5 years old, went to the public schools, went to Passaic Valley High School, went on to earn my bachelor's degree from Syracuse University in education, taught for a few years, and then really discovered that my passion was government. Love the political scene, love the opportunity to go out, meet people, touch their lives, hopefully for the better. I had the opportunity here to be elected 3 times to the borough council, and now I am up for re-election in November, seeking my 3rd term as mayor.
And who's running against you?
No one.
He's running unopposed. I'm going to tell you what they do. They really do a great job. A little secret, he's a Democrat. Just want you to know that. Mayor Kazmark was on the council when the Woodland Park Range was approved, and he was the mayor when we opened. And he was also the mayor when we went for our expansion that's going on. And he's huge with public safety training, huge with police departments. Chief Gallietti, the 3 of us have a great relationship together. And the Woodland Park Police Department uses the range for all of their training and practice here. And right now we have about 30 police departments using our range in the off hours. And when the expansion's done, we're looking at about 100 police departments we'll be able to accommodate for training during normal daytime hours. And it's still open nights and weekends, and we'll have members' ranges and everything. So I thank you again for that. But, you know about, like, with Stigma Free, I've made so many friends, like with the Michelle Pilari, the superintendent of the schools. And, you know, which we try to work with them, too. With training, because a lot of people their views of a gun range, they don't realize what's going on. And Mayor, you said something once that stuck in my head, and this was about 3 years ago. The mayor had people that were concerned about the range, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, guns aren't going to go away, and people need a place to train how to safely use them. You said that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, Anthony, I want to thank you for your support and your involvement here in the community. There are a lot of community events. Gun for Hire, the Woodland Park Range are present, and not only supportive in concept, but also financially supportive of Woodland Park Day, the National Night Out Against Drugs and Alcohol Abuse, the Stigma Free Committee, as I mentioned, our event tomorrow night. But I have to tell you, I think that we've done, and you've done, a tremendous job in educating people as to what the real role and function of a range like this is in a community like Woodland Park. And I say to people all the time, I say, if you wake up one morning and you feel compelled to learn how to use a firearm, where do you go? You come here.
Correct.
And I think that that's so important. And for those people who are concerned about gun safety, and I'm one of those people, this is a place that you can come to properly learn how to use a firearm, how to handle a firearm, how to clean a firearm, and do it safely and properly. And that's why I'm encouraged when parents bring their kids into an establishment like this. My deputy clerk in Elmwood Park, where I work full time, her husband often brings their 2 young boys here to the range. Because he wants them to properly learn to use a firearm. And it's actually this concept of promoting gun safety isn't more appropriate than to learn it here.
You heard that, right, folks? This is from a politician. And this is what we want to hear.
A New Jersey politician, which is a rarity.
Yes, we're blessed. I'm blessed. That's why I moved into this town.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at LipstickBodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the GunForHireRadio.com homepage.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Ron Sousa has two locations, one on Changebridge Road in Montville and one on New Road in Parsippany. For as little as $58 a month, you too can have a professional environment. Check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Mayor, you also have your pulse on the entire economic development of our area, including the range expansion. And the town is quite picturesque. If anybody doesn't know, it used to be called West Patterson. It's between Totowa, Little Falls, right near Clifton. It is now Woodland Park. It's been for a few years. And you guys really do a good job of making sure the right mix of businesses and housing go up, and I commend you for that as well.
Quite frankly, it's about striking a balance, and we need to make sure that our storefronts are full. When I became mayor in 2012, we had 31 storefronts that were empty.
Wow.
Mostly in part because of the terrible effect that Hurricane Irene had on flooding in some of the lower sections of the borough. I'm really pleased with the turnaround that we've been able to produce over the last 6 years, filling up storefronts. Right here on the same campus as Gun for Hire, we have now have And That, which has been brought to us by Bed Bath & Beyond. Next to that, we'll open up World Market all within the next 10 days. And we now have K&G Men's Fashions coming in right behind the range here in the old Golfsmith space.
And a new food place. Tell us about the food place that's opening up.
Well, World Market is actually, they describe, this is a little foreign
to
me. No,
the other food place is opening up in the old bank location. There's a food place. You posted it.
Oh.
Eating restaurant.
Oh, by the way.
By the way.
Burgers.
BTW.
Burgers, tacos, and wings.
Okay.
That doesn't suck.
So, you know, little known fact, Anthony and I share a personal trainer.
He's been on the show, George.
We don't want George to hear Anthony and I talking about burgers, tacos, and wings.
No. You'll be flipping tires for next week.
And that's right next to Fairway, by the way.
Yes. Fairway's a nice grocery store. Well, I'm telling you, I love living here. I mean, I'm a mile and a half from work.
It's a great small town.
And also, another thing the mayor said that we use in all our promotional advertising materials for Woodland Park Range is we're 15 minutes from everywhere in northern New Jersey.
That
I stole
was yours?
That from him.
That
so,
was
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So one of the offers I made to any of the property owners here in town, any of the commercial property owners, was that I would be willing to come in if I thought that the fit was right for a prospective tenant and give a 10 or 15 minute sales pitch to the prospective tenant about why Woodland Park is the place to open up and establish their business. And I've gone into a few of these meetings and been able to say to people, listen, we're 15 minutes from everywhere, so much so that Mountain Development, which is the office park up off of Squirrelwood Road, mm-hmm. actually used that in a 3-minute video where they show all of the highways that intersect our town and how you can get to 46, 80,
That's
3,
true,
the Garden it? State Parkway,
every brochure,
the Turnpike, absolutely.
That I have, and on my website, every map says 15 minutes from everywhere in northern New Jersey.
See, that's the difference between a politician and us. We would have been trademarked that damn thing.
It should have. now, Mayor, I'm hosting a fundraiser for you here. You want to tell us a little bit about what's going on, what you're attempting to do that I feel you're going to be successful at?
So on August 8th, my team announced that we would form a congressional exploratory committee, and we are looking very hard at potentially running next year for Congress in the 11th Congressional District here in New Jersey against Congressman Rodney Frelinghuysen.
What does the 11th district represent?
So the 11th district spans four counties, Passaic, Morris, Essex, and five towns in Sussex County.
Wow, that's huge.
It runs from Sparta to Livingston. So picture that on a map.
Wow. I mean, just demographically, that's
absolutely quite absolutely. But we are talking to people throughout the district. I've been to a number of events in all four counties, talking to leaders in the community, both Republicans and Democrats, quite frankly, because I think there is a level of disappointment out there right now with the representation we're receiving in Congress from our current representative.
That's why you're here today. The guy he's hopefully going to run against, Rodney Frelinghuysen, has never been in the range. He's a Republican. He's been invited numerous times by political operatives, bigwigs, donors, and everything. Zero response to emails and contacts. So, and I know my mayor, and I know he's a man of his word, so he's here today. And not only that, but I'm hosting on Monday, September 18th at 9 a.m., I'm hosting a breakfast fundraiser in support of Mayor Keith Kaczmarek. And this is for his Congressional Exploratory Committee for the 11th Congressional District. There's going to be a link on our homepage. A mass email is going out for everybody. If you'd like to attend and meet the mayor, there's donation levels starting at $250 and up. We're going to have bagels and coffee and juice and cream cheese. But you can make a donation in any denomination. And his main website is going to be kaczmarekforcongress.nationbuilder.com/WP breakfast. But it'll be on the Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range site. But the mayor will be here, and it's going to be limited to how many people can attend. And I implore you, whether or not you live in a district, if you live in New Jersey, you need to be here that day because we need to throw our support behind this man. If you live outside of the district or the state, go on the website that we're going to link. Donate $10 to – we need him to represent us. Now I will have someone who's objective and listens to us. Okay, mm-hmm. Mayor, talk about breaking stereotypes. You as a Democrat being in here, you've been in this range numerous times. Do our customers break the stereotype of what the media and what the general public has told you gun range patrons look like?
Absolutely, and it's not only people coming in to learn how to use a firearm from all walks of life, mm-hmm. from all different parts of the county, from all different parts of the tri-state region. I mean, you have people coming in from New York, from Connecticut, from PA. There's people from all walks of life that come here. But I think what's most important is for folks to understand that this is not only a place to learn how to use a firearm, but this is also a place to learn about safety. When Anthony shared with me the courses that are offered by his instructors here on how to deal with a situation in case, God forbid, you're in the Garden State Plaza mm-hmm. out in Paramus and an intruder is in the mall and you need to protect yourself.
Yes.
What without even touching a gun.
Right.
What steps can you take to put yourself in the best situation to remain safe in that type of situation?
Well, it has to be without touching a gun. We are talking about
that's our civilian response to an active shooter situation. Yes. Without having a gun, what can you do? We have so many. Right. You know, we have terrorism awareness classes that are taught by terrorists. You know, experts, terrorism experts, but. So we know that. Go ahead, Mary.
Anthony, you mentioned Dr. Michelle Pilari. She's our superintendent of schools. She's a great partner with us here in town. You sit with her on the stigma-free committee. I've recommended to the superintendent that she take a professional development day and work with the fire department, the police department, the first aid squad, and representatives from your group here to educate our teachers about how to best deal with a lockdown situation.
Wow, what a great idea.
In real time.
Yep.
Because I have to tell you, I taught for 3 years out of college up in Rockland County, New York, the Clarkstown Central School District. And we had one professional day that was dedicated in the spring to learning how to role play in scenarios that could be considered emergency situations. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a day that the kids were in school. It was just the professional staff, the teaching staff. We were assigned roles. You were going to be a student. You were going to be a teacher. How do you deal with a lockdown drill? How do you deal with an active shooter situation? I want to bring that type of professional development here into our school district so that our teachers are best prepared with the knowledge, and not only the teachers, but also our emergency responders, so that they could role play and do tabletop type of scenarios to make sure that we're in the best situation in case, God forbid, something catastrophic happens here in our town.
Now, everything you hear the mayor say, I've heard him say before. So he's not doing this because he's running.
No, I can understand.
Congressional
this is the first time
I've been talking about this for 6 years.
Okay.
So,
yeah. So yeah. Again, I want to say it's CASMARC for Congress, and it's going to be on our website. And if you can make it Monday, September 18th from 9 a.m. till noon, he's going to be here. You can ask him the tough questions. He's accessible. You'll get to know him. We need to throw our support behind him. I'm throwing my support 1,000%. That's why he's here. That's why we're talking about this. Mayor, any last words you want to say?
I look forward to the ribbon cutting of the expansion next door. Looking forward to hosting law enforcement from all over the state to train right here in Woodland Park to be the best law enforcement officers that they can be.
Thank you, sir. For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent.
As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by SafeCon.net. NJSafeCon.net. NJSafeCon.net is September 23rd at the Princeton Marriott from 10 to 4. Doors open at 9 a.m. And I'm trying to get John Willett on the show to discuss it a little. Oh, look who's walking by the studio.
What? Hey, John. That's me. It's John.
Hey, Willett. John. John's here. NJSafeCon.net. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. John is doing the bulk work of the SafeCon conference. It was his idea. But the mastermind behind it all is his wife, Rachel. We all know that. So that's that.
I have a book in my library called Execution, the Business of Getting Things Done. I've had it on my shelf for about 2 years and haven't read it.
That's pretty good. So we're coming down to the wire here now. It's September 10th, so we're 13 days away. John, tell us what's going on at NJSafeCon.net, where people have to go online now and buy their tickets. Imagine if John announces it's sold out and you don't get to go. NJSafeCon.net.
That's right.
We already said buy tickets for anybody you know who's on the fence. Buy a ticket for a lib. Bring them in.
Right.
Show them around. So, John, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. We have lots of things going on. We are finalizing the details with the speaker list and the schedule. So that's still subject to change. But I would like to announce the app for the conference is going live this weekend. We're going to have that available for download.
Okay.
September. Actually, today.
Okay.
As this podcast comes out.
September 10th or 11th, we're going to have it. So it's a beautiful
thing.
That's right.
So if you're registered for the conference, we're going to have sent you an email saying, here's how you get logged into the app so you can find out all the information about the conference, everything you need to know to plan out your day. And we'll have an invite for you so you can go straight to that. If you haven't registered for the conference yet, you can find it just by going into whatever app store you use and searching Safe Conferences.
Safe Conferences.
Yeah, and they'll bring up the app for you.
So this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a big one in Princeton. We're going to have a lot of people there, a lot of speakers. State Police has a booth. You confirmed
State
it.
Police are going to have a table. We have that set up for them. And they're going to be doing the presentation based on pre-reviewed questions that we send to them.
Good.
They'll
go off script, by the way, too. They're all cool in the firearms unit. Yeah. Last year, they said the same thing, you know, that they were going to go on script. And then Brett ended up answering a lot more questions. Listen, they're approachable. They're doing their job.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not legislators. They're not the lawmakers. They just have to enforce it.
Right.
And so they are really there to help. I mean, unless you're going to walk in with a full auto AK with a 100-round magazine and say, this legal? You know, you're not going to have a problem. But you can go up to them and
look,
ask anything you want.
I've seen odder things.
So have I. So, yeah, John.
So a note about the New Jersey State Police is, while most of the conference is videotaped and we're going to be making as much of it available as possible, one of the few things that you're not going to be able to get afterwards is the New Jersey State Police presentation.
Yeah.
That's not something that we're going to make available on YouTube. So if you're interested in what the New Jersey Police, State Police Firearms Unit has to say on these things,
you've
got to be there.
And that's being done because the big bosses are afraid their words will be used against them.
Yeah.
And I can understand.
And they're not giving legal advice.
Correct. And so, any legal counsel would advise the same thing. Listen, it's just monumental, John, that for 2 years in a row you have the state police.
They're
going
to be there. And then this year you're going to be able to go up to them and ask them their question.
So, I mean, that's a beautiful
thing.
So
even if they don't get to your question on stage, you're going to have an opportunity to ask somebody.
And the vendors, and the donors, like Roger Garrett from PurelyWater.com, Dr. Renucci, Jay Moore. Who else, John? Give us some shout-outs.
We just signed up Range 609 from down in Rio Grande. We have, let's see here.
What do you mean? You don't know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, there's so many now.
Is the Bullet Hole going to be there?
Bullet Hole signed on as a sponsor. They're not going to be exhibiting.
Henry?
Henry's an sponsor. They won't be exhibiting.
Okay.
Obviously, Gun for Hire, Gun Sitters, Modern Material, New Century Identity Theft Protection, NRA ILA is going to be there and exhibiting as well. Printing to Go, Rock Training, U.S. Law Shield, Dr. Gianni Pirelli is going to be there exhibiting as well, as he's a silver sponsor. Geiger Products, who you've had on the show a couple of, at least once I know of. Let's see who else here. New Jersey Libertarian Party is going to be there as an exhibitor. They're also, we're going to have Pete Roman, who's their candidate, as one of our panelists. And then New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs will be exhibiting. Oath Keepers, you mentioned Purely Water. This is going to be Roger's second year with us.
Yeah.
And he's become an advocate for the conference. He's been talking to other people. I just got a call from Laszlo.
Monster Coding?
Yes, from Monster
Coding. He's a member of the range.
And he's going to be signing up for the conference too. Tractical Training Center, who's in Flemington. They're not too far from where the conference is going to be. We're going to have the cigar room there, selling cigars at our conference, which I think is one of the coolest things.
He comes to the range all the time, by the way.
So I've really been encouraged by the response that we've gotten from the non-firearms businesses who just happen to be part of our firearms community.
So if you're listening to this show and you have a business, and even if it's non-firearms related, why haven't you reached out to NJSafeCon.net and asked John if you could partake as well? I asked you that question. Now, when I go to SafeCon, if you're not there and it rings a bell, the next Gunfire Radio show that we do, I will shame you. Okay? I just want you to know that. Because, listen, we sink or swim together. Phil Murphy is looking good right now, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Is this what we want? Is this what we want? So we don't want that. So go ahead, John. Continue. Sorry.
It's not what I want, Anthony.
No. No. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
All right. So I'd like to talk up the app a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Just because of how cool I think the app is you're going to be able to contact other attendees through the app. So if you're interested in going to this event for networking purposes, maybe you're a member of an activist or advocacy organization, and you want to be able to reach out to other advocates for the Second Amendment. For the folks who are in here who are interested in contacting each other, you can sign up and make your profile public under the attendees section, right? You can have a picture and everything else in there, and then you can have a little bit of information, and you can message each other within the app.
That's pretty
for
cool.
People that, yeah, the app brings a lot of functionality to us. We introduced it last year. We didn't use all of it. So I'm hoping we can adopt a little bit more of that technology, you know, and bring ourselves into the, what are we, 21st century still?
Yeah, digital 22nd? Age. Yeah. Yeah, we're still in the 21st century.
So yeah, just a lot of cool things going on in the app, and I hope people take the time to check it out and see what we have. All of our sponsors and some of the folks who aren't our sponsors have banners in there, so they'll have like advertisements, and there'll be direct links inside of that you can click on and maybe go to their website and see what's going on with them. So
very cool.
All profiles of the speakers are going to be in there. So if you're interested in the background of, say, maybe Charlie Cook is someone that you haven't heard of because he's coming down from Massachusetts to be in the conference, right? And he's going to be on our community building panel. Now, I don't know if you guys know Charlie. I know you know Charlie.
Yes, I do. I know everybody.
You know everybody. So Charlie's going to be coming down. Now, he does the thing where he shoots the gun and plays the trumpet. It's like a gungram.
Come on. I did Ride and Shotgun with Charlie. You I was did one Ride of his first
yes.
people.
And he just released it.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Charlie Cook. You're going to love him.
So, and then also we're working out the details. We're thinking we're going to get Maj Trey to come on to the conference too.
Black Guns Matter?
Black Guns Matter. Yes, they do.
I love it. What else? What else is shaking?
What else is shaking? You know, I don't even know what to pick. There's so much stuff going on right now. I'm within 2 weeks of the. I'm within like 2 weeks of
from a
of showing up. Well, that too. But you know, I have to show up to the conference early, so I'll be heading up there like Thursday night. What, 2 weeks from now or something?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah.
It's all right.
So I can get things ready for this thing. Tony's gonna be on our Tony Simon's gonna be our community building panel. We just got all kinds of people doing great things.
We're going to talk about it some more. I got some housekeeping stuff to cover next.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
Nice. That sounds really nice. This segment, it'd be nice if I heard that. This segment is brought to you by Gunsitters, gunsitters.com, and their military division weapons guard. They're on Route 10 East in Whippany. And Gunsitters, you'll need them if you're ever in trouble. I hope you're never in trouble. So listen to me, gunsitters.com. Check them out. They're on Route 10 East in Whippany. And if you're in the military, you're being transferred or deployed, they will hold your guns for free. They're opening locations all over the United States. They have one in Easton, Pennsylvania, which Eric and Vince will be on in a few weeks to discuss again. Are they going to be at SafeCon?
Yeah, Gunsitters will be there.
Okay. See what I mean? Support those who support us. Please support those who support us. So, John, I want to talk about right now. I have in front of me a couple of things. With the hurricane last week, the governor of the Virgin Islands issued a National Guard order to seize everybody's firearms and ammunition.
Ah, yeah, just like he must have went to the same school as Ray Nagin.
Okay. You don't think that's going to happen in New Jersey if Phil Murphy wins?
Oh, of course.
So then get your ass motivated, get in gear, and support us and get on NJSafeCon.net. So what, you have something to say about that, Sandy? You're pissed off or no?
Well, no. Nobody really learns, or they do learn, that you can just confiscate everybody's guns. And look at how that worked out. The difference between Texas, between what happened in Houston and what happened in Katrina, with all the looting and everything else, the aftermath.
Well, Bobby Jindal changed the law when he was governor after Katrina because they seized tens of thousands of guns.
Right.
And the NRA is probably going to be suing the government of the U.S. Virgin Islands. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
By the way, Gary Roth is working on a comparison of all the concealed carry products, and a couple other listeners are. They sent me information.
Oh,
we're
good.
Going to be dedicating a future show to that. But
I took a look at a bunch of them, and like they're all confusing because each one has their own gaps, and I don't know.
Correct, but Willett was in the area, so I had to get him on. Let me tell you something right now. I got Stephen Shorter, our friend from across the pond in the UK.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Stephen. He wrote, as always, I hope this message finds you well. He was listening to show 326. As of yesterday, it was our highest numbered episode ever. I was struck by something that was simultaneous, profound, and very disturbing about the rioting by Antifa and the destruction of memorials. You mentioned that they also destroyed a monument to peace and reconciliation accidentally, but I don't know that it being by accident matters. And he wrote, Orwell once wrote, every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right.
Yeah.
All right. That is to say, through a process of both targeted destruction or random violence, the history of your nation is being rewritten. Without swinging too heavily into tinfoil hat territory here, I believe that certain elements of the establishment left behind by the prior administration are deliberately and furiously burning books, so to speak, You spoke about Trump's helplessness when faced with the hostile environment, and I think you're right. That's the point. They're simultaneously trying to slow his progress in office and to ensure that something like his election never happens again in whipping up what is at this stage almost a parliamentary hard-left movement, Antifa. They're creating a class of violent, politically obsessed young people whose entire ethos is centered around hating conservatives and the right. It won't matter to them which party is in power. They'll serve the interests of a small group of mostly Democrats, politicians, and groups. I'm not saying they're communists, but it's a very similar situation to what happened in China in the 50s. A student protest movement became violent thugs dedicated to persecuting alternative viewpoints and smashing cultural artifacts, and eventually became the Red Guard. But most frightening of all, these people are the next generation of voters.
Yes.
And he wrote, on a different but altogether more optimistic note, I was reading a bit about Christie's replacement in New Jersey after hearing your show. All I can say is that he sounds like the man for the job. Thank God somebody's finally going to do something about all those drive-by shootings with 50 cal anti-material rifles, right? Not to mention those awful high-capacity magazines. I once accidentally dropped one of those things on my toe when I was rearranging the safe, and it hurt like hell. If it was a little 7-round mag, I would have been fine. I blame the guns, gosh darn it. I'll leave you now with another quote from the great Orwell, which came to mind when Anthony was joking about how he abuses the First Amendment all the time. In a time of universal deceit, even simply telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stay safe, Stephen Shorter. Thank you, Stephen. That was wonderful. We're going to have you on the show one of these days.
Yeah, we should.
Next time you come to visit
fly
the U.S.
We have the budget for that.
Yeah, we have the budget. Our budget is 0.0. So this is where we're headed, and we have to fight tooth and nail in New Jersey. So, John, back to you, because I spoke too much.
You want to talk about anti-fascists?
No, I want to talk. We're not talking about playing video games either, some bitch. That's a sticking point with John and I. I'm not a big fan of video games, and I do believe it creates some violence. John doesn't.
I think I wrote a very compelling email. Hopefully you'll read it on the show.
You
so.
Sent it?
Yeah.
I got it?
Yeah, you
I
said you were going to read it.
That shit. Next time you come on, I probably deleted that.
Those are confirmation bias.
I was like, this son of a bitch.
He can't read it.
Listen, I'm rewriting history. All right? I'm following Orwell's playbook, guys. All right? Following Orwell's playbook.
So go ahead. One of the we're going to have about an hour of the conference that's going to be dedicated to a section on facing threats to our freedom, property, and identity. Right? So this is going to be a section. Where we're going to talk about some safety things. We're going to talk about, as you mentioned, some of those legal protection plans. We're going to have a little primer on those. We're going to talk about the unique risks that gun owners face when it comes to identity theft. We're going to have Jeff Henniger there to talk about how police can take your guns and how you can get them back. And then we're going to have gun sitters presenting what they're able to do to help gun owners in tough situations too. So we're going to have about an hour focused on all those threats that we face, especially here in New Jersey. I think every one of those threats is heightened just by the fact of the state and where we live.
Absolutely.
So that's a section of the conference that I'm looking forward to in particular. The second one that I wanted to highlight is we're going to have an election discussion panel rather than a series of speakers going up and talking. I haven't worked out exactly how audience participation in that is going to work, but I think we're going to do something to allow the audience to maybe bring up points or ask questions during that too, whether it's through the app itself or some other way.
Oh, that'd be cool. Actually,
yeah,
if you could do it through the app.
So I'm really excited for the conference this year. I think it's going to be our best and probably it's our most important event to date. With our third conference, the
it's
trifecta.
It's also your highest number event.
It's going to be the highest. Yes. Great.
Number three, highest, right?
Number three.
that's so true.
It's just, what's going on for like refreshments and stuff there? I'm going to be there the whole day.
This is the important part.
So, for everybody. Right.
We're gonna have concessions available to purchase, provided by the hotel. They're going to have sandwiches and drinks and coffee. And they'll be setting up stations in the lobby area. We'd be able to grab some stuff there, or they do have their own restaurants and areas over on the other side of the hotel if you want to cruise over there. There's going to be an hour-long break during the middle of the conference.
Just go right back to
give you an opportunity, you can go, you know, bounce out to a concession area, bounce over to a restaurant or something and grab something, or you know, or if you're more inclined to go hang out with some of the exhibitors and stuff and maybe get a chance to talk to some of them and that. So
that's good. That's always good, especially for the exhibitors who are there.
Yeah. I don't know what he's making noises about. Can you interpret those?
I can, but you can't really say them on the air. So
you can't. Oh, okay. Yeah,
he moans a lot. He groans and moans. And
I'm looking forward to SafeCon. I got a lot going on. The next day, Johnny Cupcake's wedding. Mr. Cupcakes, I'm invited to the wedding.
Johnny Cupcakes.
Listen, that's the deal. That's the deal. So what's going on? Talk to me more, John.
We got people signing up for our classes the day before, September 22nd. We're going to have three classes. We have our firearms and mental health class. We're going to be taught by Evan Knappen and Dr. Gianni Pirelli. It's going to be 4 hours of instruction.
Are they teaching in tandem?
Evan's going to be doing 3 hours on the legal perspective. He's going to be talking about some of the specific laws
that's
and expungements.
That's worth the $20.
That's not $20. Oh, that's $150 to go to the CLE class.
Okay, forget it.
And so this is the day before. This is our CLE course. This is so that lawyers can get their continuing education credits. And or if you're not a lawyer, you can come to it too.
Even if you're not a lawyer, you can go.
Yeah. So you'll get 3 hours on the legal perspective from Evan, and then Dr. Pirelli will be doing an hour from the clinical perspective.
Nice.
So I think that's going to be a really interesting class. So 4 hours total there. That's going to start at 9 a.m. Then at 2 p.m., we're going to have Justifiable Force doing a New Jersey self-defense slash citizen use of force class. And that, I think, is going to run 3 hours. If I remember correctly.
That's a very good topic.
That one is $60. And then finally at 6 p.m., so this will be like after people get off work, we're going to be doing our Utah CCW with Rock Training, and that's going to be $80. And I think Utah, they have to do 4 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's four hours. Mandated right. 4 hours.
So I think they include everything except for maybe the photo or something, which, if I remember correctly, Gun for Hire is going to be doing stuff for outside New Jersey carry, the application stuff we talked about doing, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. If so you want to apply for any other carry permits, Charlie will be down there doing stuff too.
Oh, like Virginia?
Yeah.
The fingerprinting and all that stuff,
oh,
right?
Fingerprinting, good. Notary.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because that's hard to get done, too.
NJSafeCon.net. Go online and buy your tickets now. $20 a piece, please. Check out the website. Share it on social media. Send it to your friends. Let's get thousands of people there, and let's defeat Phil Murphy!
If you're a regular listener to the show, there's no doubt you've heard me quote the statistic that one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good, sound advice that we could trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice plus some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free, expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over 3 decades. So the insight is real, and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. Last week, Diane exposed the dirty little trick hospitals are systematically playing to cover up their mistakes. This week, in a special extended episode of Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane answers a flood of email questions from last week's episode on infections. This week, she covers the most common hospital-acquired infections, their signs and symptoms, and what you and your parents might do to prevent them. Parents Are Hard to Raise, available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio. And for those of you cheap, technically challenged, flip phone using old farts out there, you can listen online at parentsarehardtoraise.org. Crank it on, crank it up, let's go, crank it up, it's Gun for Hire Radio.
Am I supposed to be bringing chocolates? Is that
whoopie pie?
Yeah, I need a whoopie pie. I had a whoopie pie the other day.
Did you?
I took the two pieces of cake
and
I took out 90% of the filling and put it back together. This segment is brought to you County Line.
Where did you get the whoopie pie?
Somebody brought them in.
Oh, okay.
Tom Giordano, who works here, I nicknamed him Willy Wonka because every weekend he brings different goodies in and stuff.
Okay,
yes.
That's pretty good.
But you know what? He showed me the candy before I got in the van this time. So I'm getting better.
Oh, that's good. No,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to see that candy before you climb in there. The candy man can.
This segment is brought to you by CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. Route 10 East in East Hanover, across the street from the Best Buy. Stop in and see Carlos and company and tell them I said hi. Listen, guys, it's important
that
we attend.
Well, they actually would prefer you buy something. Not
yeah,
just to
well,
drop
stop
in
and
say
Sandy.
Hi.
Let's talk a little bit, Sandy. After what happened with Houston and after what happened with Florida and the Keys and the Caribbean, there's a couple islands. Like the island of Barata is gone, pretty much, just found out.
I have a lot of friends in St. Bart's and a lot of friends in St. Thomas and St. Martin, and we haven't been able to reach them. So,
God, okay, hope it's all right. Let's talk a little bit about some storm stuff, John, and you can chime in, too, if you want. You know, you should download apps on your phone, like the Red Cross has a hurricane app available in the App Store. You know, use hurricane shutters or board-up windows if you have to. Bring outside items in that could be picked up by the wind. Reinforce your garage door if you can. Put something behind it because it'll blow right out eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Turn the refrigerator to its coldest setting in case the power goes out. You'll get more time before the items spoil.
And fill it up with a lot, you know, density. Keep a lot of stuff in it.
A lot of bottled water and stuff. It'll hold it a long time. Fill your bathtub up with water. If you have a couple of water bobs, you can Google that, water bobs.
Water bobs.
They go in the tub. Fill it up. Make sure your cars have full tanks of gas. If you have any gas cans, they should be filled up. All right, go over your evacuation and alternate route plans with your family. Learn the location of the nearest shelters or nearest pet-friendly shelter if you have pets. You should put an axe in your attic in case of severe flooding. If you end up trapped in your attic, you can bust your way out. Great point.
That is a good point,
All right, if you're ordered to evacuate, evacuate. Don't stick it out. Go ahead.
The first Houston issue, the reason that they didn't evacuate the second time was because most of the deaths that occurred during the first Houston hurricane, when they gave an evacuation order, occurred because people were trying to get out of the city, got caught in their cars, and they drowned.
Ugh.
And it's from a public health standpoint, I don't envy the people making the decisions about evacuation. I think that what people usually do is they wait too damn long. You know, they wait.
You
see this thing
soon.
Coming out 5 days in advance. I mean, you don't wait till the last day. I get it. You know, you don't just call in, you know, hey, I'm not coming in 5 days ahead, you know, to work. But you really look at what's happening in Florida. I mean, it's the issue is you're running out of gas.
They couldn't get out.
Yeah.
The gas stations ran out of gas.
Right.
You know, a couple other things is you should have, all of your important paperwork in a watertight container.
All
right? Yeah. You should have a list of your current inventory household property. Take pictures of it if it's saved on the cloud so you can show it to insurance companies. Unplug small appliances, all right? If you can, turn off electricity, gas, and water for the residents. You should have, if you're going to stay, you should have 3-day water supply for each person in a house, 1 gallon per day per person, okay? 3 days of food, canned items, canned meats, canned juice, peanut butter, jelly, salt-free crackers, protein bars, trail mix, dried cereal, can opener, flashlights, battery-powered radio. The Red Cross radio is a great one.
Yeah, very good.
Extra batteries. You better have a kick-ass first aid kit, fire extinguishers, whistles for everybody. You better have at least a 2-week supply of medications, a couple of multi-purpose tools like Leatherman's. You better have extra cell phone chargers. A sleeping bag for each person. Cash.
Yeah.
Better have some cash.
Yeah. ATMs
are
down. Absolutely.
One of my favorites, baby wipes.
Yeah.
Pet supplies.
Yeah.
Okay. Camera or your camera phone. You know, rain gear, plastic sheeting, duct tape, dust mask, extra set of house keys, extra set of car keys, an emergency ladder in case you have to evacuate the second floor. Household bleach, one drop per bleach per gallon of water will keep up to a year if it's not in direct sunlight. Okay? Right. Charcoal and matches, all right, if you have a portable grill, because if the power goes off, you can barbecue all that shit.
That's right.
All right? Something to really think about. All right? Those are some little tips I wanted to pass on. There's so many more that you need to be prepared. You should have bug-out bags for everyone, all right, in the family. There needs to be a plan. You guys got to sit down and say, all right, it looks like it's coming. What are we going to do?
And you got to work the plan, too.
Correct.
I mean, those of us who went through Hurricane Sandy, you had the plan, but then the plan falls apart. It just completely falls apart.
Correct. John, what panel am I teaching? Am I proctoring?
You're going to be on the community building panel. You're going to be on the election panel.
Community building panel and election panel. Each one, reach one, and vote often. There, I'm done.
Yeah, that's it. It's pretty much
so much for being prepared.
Pretty much takes care of it. You're done.
I'm done. John, tell us again how everybody can reach you.
You can go to njsafecon.net. Check out the website there. There's a contact page. You can also email me, John, J-O-H-N, at njsafecon.net.
Guys, girls, buy your tickets now. Come on, there's a million gun owners in New Jersey. We should see 5,000 people show up to an event like this. Everybody should come out. You can stop by for a couple hours, shake hands, meet and greet. If you can't make it that day, njsafecon.net, make a small donation, buy a few tickets for friends or family, or for God's sake, if you're pro-2A and you own a business in the state, let us know about it. You're going to hear it. I'm going to pitch it on the show. John's going to put it on a SafeCon site. You're going to have ads, a program, and everything. I keep plugging everybody here. Let's go. Get off your asses. Let's get involved with this. Let's let it grow. Let's let this be a monster.
Right.
NJSafeCon.net. John, thank you.
Thank you. That's it?
I don't know. I have classes.
Right.
We have every urban class in September and October. We have become an NRA instructor. We have BIT, range safety officer, pistol instructor, rifle instructor, shotgun instructor, throughout November 3rd to November 12th. We have Protective Pen, Protective Knife 1, Protective Knife 2, and Protective Cane in the month of November. Check out those classes. You know, my girlfriend Patty, her daughter, is away in Rome studying. She's got her Schrade pen on her, her protective pen.
That's perfect.
Okay? She flew with it. They didn't stop her. She flew out Delta from JFK to Rome to Da Vinci Airport.
Yeah.
She got her pen with her. She knows how to use it. Check it out. Have a nice day.
Well, looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please, guys, let's blow the doors off New Jersey SafeCon. We need this. It's going to be great. See you there.